This is episode number 342 with Tay Diggs.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to a special edition of the School of Greatness podcast. I am pumped because we've got an incredible human being. His name is Tay Diggs, and that's right, he's in the Greatness Studio today, and boy, did we go there. Now, I'm going to share a story with you in just a moment about how we personally got connected and how I made this interview happen. But for those that don't know who Tay is, he's got his degree in musical theater from Syracuse University, and he made his show business debut in the ensemble cast of the five-time Tony Award-winning play Carousel. And he's best known for his Broadway musical performance on Rent and in the film How Stella Got Her Groove Back. That is right, getting that groove back, as well as his time on TV's hit show Private Practice. Now, what I didn't really know about Tay is he's also a very passionate dancer and choreographer, so we talk more about that. Some of the main things we cover in today's interview are how to practice self-love without feeding your ego too much. Now, Tay is a huge superstar, well-known all over the world, but we all need to fill our tanks up. We all need to feel positive, feel loved, and take care of ourselves. Otherwise, we can't perform at a high level. And we really dive in how to do this, but also be humble and grateful and not feed the ego too much, which I think you guys are going to enjoy. We talked about also what holds back young actors and what they should be focusing on early on. Also, how getting outside your comfort zone is like flexing a muscle, the value of experiencing friction in life, and Tay's tips for fixing a mistake that you make on stage. That's right. So for any actors or speakers who are listening right now, this is going to be some great practical advice for you. We cover this and so much more in this episode. I'm super pumped. Make sure to share this out with your friends or watch the full video interview at lewishowes.com/342 because this is going to be a great one and your friends are going to thank you for sharing that with them and introducing it to them. But in this moment, we've got a powerful interview with an incredible human being. So without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Tay Diggs.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest. His name is Tay Diggs. What's up, my man?
How you feeling, sir?
Good to see you,
good
man.
Good to see you as well.
Appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate you being here.
Out from the gym.
I did. A little sweaty.
It's all good, man. We're gonna get messy. We were just jamming on how we both play basketball. You haven't played in a couple of years.
I haven't.
But we're going to go out there and jam sometime soon.
We are. You're going to be my excuse to get back out.
There you go. I'll be your big man. You can be my point guard.
All right. Or something like
throw
that.
Throw me down. Exactly. Exactly. And now I'm excited about this. We got connected. Well, first off, my friend Barbara Fiorentino said that she was friends with you a few years ago. And I was like, I'd love to have this guy on someday.
Yeah, you know? She's great.
And then I ran into you at Tender Greens. And I was like,
I had a hat on.
Yeah, you had a hat on. I was like, maybe I'll go say hi to him. But I was like, I'd like to have an introduction, you know?
Sure.
When I'm trying to do an interview,
course.
It's like,
oh, right.
Maybe okay. I should just ask Barbara, like, hey, will you make an introduction? As opposed to me coming up to you and be like, hey, will you come on my show when you don't know who I am?
But you commented on my hat.
I was just like,
though.
Hey, man, you got a great hat.
You got a great hat. Yes.
Great hat.
And then that was it.
And then the next day or 2 days ago, I see you at Soho House and I was like, all right, this is a sign.
Yeah.
And you were chilling. You weren't with anyone. So I was like, let me go say hey that I know Barbara.
Right.
And would you?
I mean, I was waiting for somebody.
You're waiting for someone, but you weren't
make people think that I'm just by myself.
Right.
At Soho House.
You were waiting.
In the lobby.
You were
I'm
waiting.
A member.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got things.
I hear you. But you weren't in a conversation, so I didn't have to interrupt anything.
No, no, I get your style, though.
And I was like, all right, let me see, you know.
It worked out.
Feel it out. And I was like, we should have you come on. And you were like, absolutely, let's do it. So we made it happen.
We're here.
We are here in the studio, the Greatness Studio.
Yes, so. Hashtag greatness. I really dig what you're doing, man.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you.
To be out here in, no offense to L.A., but. To be out here in LA and dedicating, you know, your time and energy to other people and kind of bettering, you know, where we are is really great to witness.
I appreciate it, man.
Good
I
stuff,
appreciate
man.
It.
Yeah.
Now, for those that don't know who you are an actor and you're among many things and a writer as well. You've got a couple kids books we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have everything linked up here on the show notes so people can check these things out. But you started in the, kind of the Broadway theater scene, mm-hmm. and then movie and TV, and you've done all types of acting. Now.
Yeah,
you've done
I've
it
been
all.
Very fortunate.
Done many movies, many TV shows.
Yeah,
all over
yeah,
the place.
Been lucky.
It's been amazing, and
it has been.
I have something in common with you, and that's in that sense.
What
I did my senior year, I did the High School Musical at my school.
You did.
I was like, you know what? I need my whole family is very musically gifted.
Really,
my brother's the number one jazz violinist in the world.
He is.
Yes. My sister's
Who's your brother?
His name's Christian Howes, and he played in New York City a lot. He played with Les Paul in Times Square at the Iridium all the time, and yeah, he travels all the world. And
well, you're just getting more and more intriguing every second.
But I didn't have those skills as growing up.
Right.
My parents were opera singers at Ohio State, and that's where they met.
Wow!
And so I was the youngest of four, and they put all my family into music except for me. So I was
they
a sports
didn't
guy.
Put you in.
They tried to, but I was like kicking and screaming, like in the piano lessons.
Okay.
I was like, get me out of this.
Right. So maybe you had the talent.
Maybe
but
I
you
did.
Didn't.
Now I play guitar because I was like, I feel like I had to learn something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can play like campfire songs, you know?
That'll work.
And,
especially
with
the females.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I was like, my senior year, I was like, I have to do something in the musical. I have to get out of my comfort zone. And so I auditioned for the lead. And I'd never done any acting, any like
That's
lines.
Crazy.
I was terrified. But I was like, I'm going to put myself out there. And it was called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Sure.
You know that one?
Uh-huh.
And I got the second, the oldest brother, not the main brother, but the oldest brother. Like,
yeah,
the
that's not too
show.
Shabby.
Yeah, it was cool. I had a few lines and danced, and it was an incredible experience.
Good for you.
And I was like, I wish I would have done this my freshman year.
I bet. Well, you would have turned out to be a completely different person.
It's incredible being on the theater in a live performance.
It can be, yeah.
And you just finished up a show.
In New York?
Yeah,
Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Yeah,
I saw some previews for that. It looks incredible.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. That was the hands down, bar none, the most challenging project I've ever had to, I've ever been blessed, enough to kind of take on.
Right.
So it's a life changer.
And did you? And it's a one man show essentially, right?
Basically, I mean, there's a wonderful band.
Right. Right.
On stage, and then there's the character that plays my love interest.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the
is
piece
you.
Is me.
Yeah.
Hedwig.
Have you ever done a one man show before that?
No. And I had, you know, I balked at the idea. But once again, as you said, I wanted to step out of my comfort zone. And, I had seen the show many, many times prior. And I was a fan. And I thought, you know, this is some real stuff. Let me try and see if I can do it.
Yeah.
And I got through it. So
you did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made it out.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And that's usually not my game. I'm pretty laid back. I kind of know, you know, where my comfort zone is and what my strengths are. And I've always been that cat that's just been cool, just gliding along. You know what I mean? I like to feel comfortable.
You've got the roles that you kind of play.
Yeah,
similar.
Yeah, kind of handsome black dude, you know, best friend.
Sure.
But then, you know, the older you get, the more ambitious, hopefully,
right.
you get. And I wanted to really kind of ring life out and get the best, be the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's the biggest lesson you learned in that experience?
Oh my goodness, so many. Well, to keep stepping outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
That it's that life is more than comfort.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Do you feel like you grew the most in what was it, a 12-week run? Is that what it was? Or
about a couple of months? What
yeah.
is that? Yeah.
Eight
something
to 12
like
weeks
that. Yeah. Ridiculously. Yeah. But I also realized that it's like a muscle. You know, you know, when I was in the middle of that run, I felt so powerful. And then I thought, all right, this is going to change my life forever. I'm never going to be scared. You know, I'm never going to not want to kind of, press the boundaries.
Yeah.
But you have to keep yourself in that state or your body forgets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I gotta start looking for something else now because I can feel the fear.
Really?
And the complacency kind of, you know, especially in LA, you know what I mean?
Right.
If you're lucky to have a little bit of success and a nice little ride, a nice pad, you know, fun friends, it's easy to just chill and be fine with that and just kind of take things that come your way. But I gotta keep that machine working and keep looking and keep finding and keep thinking of other people, you know, besides myself, just to keep striving. Do you
right.
know what I mean?
Right. Who's the most inspiring actor in the world right now for you? Like the man or the woman or the child who's like, wow, they are just fearless. They're just so courageous or they're connected or whatever it is. Who inspires you?
Well, my son, he's not an actor, but my son is all of those things. He's my biggest inspiration. And then after that would probably be my mother. But then, acting wise, actors that, you know, I mean, Denzel, he'll just always, you know,
as a mutant.
What can you say? What can you say? He's all of it.
Do you feel like he actually takes risks though? He kind of has the same role every time, it seems like, right?
I mean, I'm such a fan that I can see the differences,
yeah.
you know, in each role. And, you know, each as an actor, you know, people always say you kind of get cast as yourself.
Right.
But then the characters are different and the, you know, the risks that that character takes, they're different as well. So I can see how somebody would feel that performance is different, even though it may look kind of similar,
yeah.
you know, because he's a leading man. So
Right. Obviously
he's going to get those roles. But it's just amazing, you know, watching him, you know, push the limits, you know, in his work.
Yeah.
And you know, I get the game as an actor. You do a couple of movies that are commercial, and then you do a couple that, you know, stretch you out a bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's done that. He's done it enough for me. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, he's incredible.
Yeah, man. What else? Who else is out there? Oh man, I'm so old. I'm forgetting these. Young man, the Jackie Robinson now. I think he's Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm not sure his name, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'd see the face.
Yeah. And the, hit me. What's the singer? One, two, three, you know, James Brown.
Uh-huh.
He played James Brown. Not Bokeem.
Awful.
I'm old.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll link it up.
Please
in
5 minutes. Big ups.
Yeah.
He's doing really well these days. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talent out there.
Sure.
It's very easy to get inspired.
Yeah. What was the big dream for you growing up? Was it always to be an actor or did you have some other dream?
You know what? I got a best friend, my cousin Shane Evans. He's the illustrator of all the books that I do. He grew up with me and just recently he reminded me, because now I'm at the age where, you know, we're all doing pretty well and we're just wondering what we were like when we were younger. And if we had the foresight. And he told me when I was in high school that I would walk around telling everybody, I'm going to be famous. And I was a little embarrassed because I thought, you know, I thought I would have been a little bit more sophisticated in my description. but at that time, I guess that's what it was. You know, I enjoyed at the time singing and acting and dancing. So maybe I didn't know, you know, which medium was going to take me there. But apparently I had the drive and for whatever reason, you know, the gods looked down on me and I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's cool. If you could only, if the gods said, okay, you only have one choice, sing, dance, or act for the rest of your career.
Oh man. Well,
you couldn't do any of the other two. You could only do one.
Oh man.
What's
well,
one?
I mean, if God's looking down on me, if he would keep my body in shape, it would then be dance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I get the most joy from that.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then, you know, acting is the most sensible.
Yeah.
And if it's comedy, it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Interesting. What type of dance do you like to do?
Man, I mean, I started out kind of modern, contemporary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to move your body parts around with hip hop and whatnot. But, you know, I had a dance company for a while. And
wow.
I was really kind of into the modern dance scene for a bit. And I still choreograph. Would love
really?
To, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
would
cool.
love to choreograph more, you know, move up to Broadway and other modern dance troupes. But it's I've always been a very physical person, and I've always, you know, had a special relationship with music. So you know, we would have, you know, Saturday dance parties in my house where the record would skip. Because everybody was jumping. Yeah.
Back in New York, or?
This was in upstate New York, Rochester, where I grew up.
Wow.
Yeah. My mother was at the helm. Yeah. So it's just, it's always been in me. It's tough getting older though. Cause,
the knees, the back.
Yeah, man.
I feel it, man. When I'm playing sports, I'm like,
it's
you
tough.
Gotta warm up a little bit longer. You gotta stretch.
Totally.
You can't just get out there and start dancing or playing ball. You gotta warm up.
You know? You really do. And warm down.
Yeah.
You know,
stretch.
I mean?
Yeah.
10 years ago, 6 years, when I was playing ball steady, I just remember sitting on the couch and just aching every day. But then going back the next day and playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, this getting older thing is kind of full for the birds.
I hear you.
But
man.
Other than that.
I hear you. Well, you look young, so.
Hey, yeah, I'm thankful
right?
for that. I will. I'll take
what, it. Who was, it sounds like your mom was a pretty big influence for you growing up. Was she the most influential person growing up for you?
She was. I have four brothers and sisters.
You're the oldest, correct?
I'm the oldest. Yeah. And she, you know, was in a kind of an abusive relationship and then, you know, raised us, then went back to school, and now is teaching theater and acting still, you know, almost through getting her doctorate. So she's something else, you know. And at the same time, you know, always told us that we would be successful. It was always unbelievable, you know, just so loving and so supportive, you know. While I was in college and acting school, I would hear from other students and hear about their struggles and parents not being supportive or having to pay for college themselves because the parents, you know, wouldn't do so. And none of that, you know, was there for me. That my parents, my stepfather and my mother were, they led us to believe that we could, you know, accomplish anything we wanted.
Hmm.
You know, like we didn't come from money, but when it came to college, I just knew that I was going to go. I didn't know how. But there wasn't that question. And, so many young people today don't have that available to them, even the option. They don't even realize that it's something that they can do.
Yeah.
So,
did you get a scholarship or how did that work out?
Yeah. Scholarship. And then my mother was really, really slick with it, with, you know, financial aid and figuring out where
grants and what everything. Just like
really,
apply
really,
for everything.
Totally,
I get that.
Totally for me. So she was really, you know, I was a cat where each semester, you know, I'd get those butterflies where I wouldn't know if all the money, you know, was coming in and, you know, sitting in the bursar's office and that smell and the wallpaper. All the other poor kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
I hated it. But, you know, I got through all 4 years and then, yeah, so that, you know, I'm lucky enough to kind of help her out.
Hmm.
She's always wanted to live in the city. She's in the city.
In New York.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So, there are times, you know, when I get on my high horse and I'm like, my mom's, she's still young. Why do I got to pay for this and that? But then when I think of everything, you know, it's cliche, but everything she sacrificed, and
right.
she is why I am who I am today, from why I perform to just the confidence to, you know, I'd like to think I'm a very kind person.
Yeah.
You know, she's so unbelievably kind hearted. And funny. She's a funny, crazy ass lady. Now that I'm an adult, she's crazy.
Really?
And it's really fun to just be around.
What's the quality you love about your mom the most?
Her kindness and her sense of, non-judgmental when it comes to me. I could tell her that I just smoked crack and killed 8 people and I, you know, I would have no problem.
She still love you.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about shaming her.
Mm.
You know, which is tough you know, and I would love to, I want to raise my son like that, where he could, he can just feel like he could, no matter what, tell me whatever without me judging him. I would love that. And her sense of humor, you know, she's, if I can make her laugh, you know, I mean, when she makes me laugh, it's for real.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, she's all right.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
When was the moment that you were like, wow, this was like the big moment? Was it a Broadway show? Was it a TV show, a movie where you're like, oh, this is like the moment where I've kind of gone from amateur ranks to now like, oh, this is the big leagues?
Yeah.
What was that opportunity?
Doing this podcast. You know what I mean?
A thing called the School of Greatness.
Yeah, yeah. Man. I was like, I made it now. But little things like this help. You know what I mean?
But when you were like in your 20s and, you know.
That's How Stella Got Her Groove Back. My first.
That was it.
Yeah, my first movie. It went down the way I had imagined it.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, even today, I think, you know, I don't know who the hell I thought I was. I want to go back and talk to that dude because he was just so confident. Mm. I was actually impatient. I was in my mid-20s. You know,
were
I had
you doing
no,
Broadway, but
yeah,
at that point?
Yeah. And I was like, I need to have been in a movie yesterday. Like,
wow.
I really had that attitude. I remember Rent. I got Carousel, a show in the ensemble, and I was like, okay, this makes sense. I was in the ensemble and I had fun. And then I went away to Japan and made a little bit of money. Then I came back and got Rent. And I was a role, but it was one of the smaller roles.
It was the lead.
No, nowhere near the lead.
But original cast, right?
Original cast. And all that was cool. But deep down inside, I was like, this isn't my jam yet.
You're not on the front center.
You know, this isn't how I imagined it.
Yeah.
And I was one of the last ones to pop from Rent. And there was a little time in there where
what do you mean by that? Like others were getting major roles and
we were the shit. Like it was the major show of its time.
Right. Everyone was going. It was like Hamilton of the time.
100%.
It was like, we have to go to Rent.
Yes. I have friends in Hamilton and they have, you know, they were dealing with, you know, what percentage they should get, you know, and, you know, it's unprecedented how successful the show was. And that was us back in nowhere near what Hamilton is, obviously.
Right.
But that was us back then.
Kind of had that vibe, yeah.
100%. Yeah. You know, it was a style of music theater that people weren't really used to. And, and the success was ridiculous. So yeah, we were that. We were them for our time. And I was the last one to. Everybody's getting record deals and
TV
studio deals,
whatever,
TV shows, films. And I wasn't getting. I got a couple of screen tests and I got a soap opera. Mm. You know, I was on Guiding Light for a little bit. But then finally, you know, when it was around, you know, I had been in the show about 2 years. Then I got How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And
wow.
Then I was off to the races.
Wow. What opportunities came from you after that? It was just movie after movie. And
it was, I was awarded, you know, the card of working actor in film and TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to audition, but there were always offers. You know what I mean? There was always a job
something
there. that I didn't necessarily have to read for.
You weren't the struggling actor anymore. You were the working actor.
Yeah. Then it was just a matter of, well, what kind of roles do I want to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's still, you know, that's still the, you know, I'm still chasing that.
Mm.
And at what point, you know, do you compromise money and,
for,
you know what I mean?
Integrity for
exactly.
The art. Know.
Sure. Right. Yeah. When I was younger, I wanted to be Will Smith.
Right.
And have that kind of success.
I mean, he's crushed.
Oh my goodness. Talk about.
He is crushed.
He's a miracle.
Right.
He's unbelievable. A miracle. I would love to just sit. See, if I have a podcast, I want him to be my guest.
I'm working on trying to get him on here.
Do
too.
It, man. Do it. And let me be present.
You come here too. Yeah. You could ask the questions.
I'll sit in the corner eating a graham cracker. But then, you know, once I got older and had a kid, you know, I don't want to be all around the, I'm fine with just a cool television gig, you know, where I'm happy. And then, you know, other elements of the business, you know, with this writing children's books and, you know, just trying to help people and, you know, put good vibes, out there in the world. I'm trying to kind of monetize that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
What's the most challenging part of the business for you? Is it switching from
ego?
You know,
ego.
Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, this is an industry where it's based on, you know, ego and
who's hotter,
who's hot, who's not, you know, the last project, you know, you're in here in LA, it's always what you drive and where you live and who's on your arm and
where you work out.
Sure. All of that. No, seriously.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the path that I've kind of chosen, you know, it's been interesting living in this atmosphere that is so, kind of inundated with that vibe, but then trying to see through it and honor yourself and do what's good for you, what's healthy for you and your family. A son helps.
Yeah.
Kids help.
Keeps you grounded. Probably,
it keeps you grounded and humble because they don't really care
who you are,
how cute you look,
what roles you got or whatever.
You know what I mean? You can have really fresh Jordans and a nice ride, but if they have a,
if you're not feeding
if
them,
they have a fit food in the middle of Whole Foods, they don't really give a fuck. So
exactly.
So that's cool. So they help, but you know, I'll be in the movie theater and I'll be looking at the next Anthony Mackie. Oh, he's another one too. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie film. And I'll have that little twinge of, oh, should I be on this poster? And are people thinking I'm not relevant because I'm on a TV show? And, but then I have to tell myself I'm happy, you know, and would I be happy being the next, you know, Black Spider-Man or whatever? Maybe, but that's months away from the kid and my bones, my knees. I don't know if I can do all those stunts.
Right.
You know, it's a young man's game. So, and you know, it's tough to do all that and then try to give back. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably the struggle. Cause there's still that young Taye Diggs, that fighter, you know, the flame, you know, in my eye that still wants to, you know, I still want to get an Oscar. I still, you know, love the publicity and whatnot. So I guess that's probably the biggest challenge is keeping myself grounded, realizing what is real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Cause if you let that stuff take you over.
The hype.
It will take you over.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
It's unfulfilling probably after.
Yeah, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, my son, he fulfills me. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You know, reading, it sounds so corny, but, you know, being the lead of a movie is great. But, you know, when you read to children and you're affecting lives like that, you know, that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, kids, like if I had written, you know, Where the Wild Things Are, do you know what I mean?
It's a legacy right there.
You know what I mean? That doesn't go away. People will forget if I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter how much the opening weekend is, people forget real quick, too quick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Especially if you haven't done anything in 2-3 years.
You know
years,
what I mean? It's and like, it's really not fair.
Yeah.
It's really not fair, especially, you know, as an African-American actor, people are making history. And it's just getting overlooked. Do you know what I mean? It's So, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
What's the biggest fear for you moving forward in life and your career?
Oh, it's all just my son's health. You know, when you have a child, it's the most vulnerable thing.
Mm.
It's crazy. So, you know, I just try to put that out of my head and just stay positive, because if I think about what my life would be without him, or if something awful happened to him, I don't even know.
Right.
So that's an easy question to answer. Yeah.
Cause you really don't have control for something like with a child.
I mean, I'm choosing to believe I do.
Sure. Right.
I'm willing it. So, but at the end of the day, you know, So. I just try to stay positive and keep him in my prayers.
I hear you.
Yeah.
You're around a lot of actors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like self-love is something that actors need more of?
100%. Like I think the world needs more of it.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you think, how do you practice self-love yourself, and how would you give back to people listening who are maybe struggling or trying to figure out, you know, their worth in the world, whether it be in a relationship, mm-hmm. career, anything? What's some ways you can practice what's not building your ego too much, but it's like the fulfilling self-love, you know?
Sure. I think it manifests itself differently in different people. Like for me, with talent, you know, I didn't have an issue because people were always there telling me how that I had something. You know, it had to deal with, for me, deserving the pretty girl or deserving to be in a conversation, you know. I think at the end of the day, it's tough, man. It's one of the hardest. I think it could be one of the hardest things to do, which is just convince yourself that you are worth it, just you, who you are, not comparing yourself or putting yourself in a context, because it's so easy to say, am I as intelligent as this person, and then looking at what you have, you know, to offer in terms of intelligence, because it's not about that, because that can easily be taken away, or you cannot have it. So you have to find who you are as a person, regardless of everything else and everyone else around you, and just be cool with that and let that power you, so that no matter how great, how handsome, how talented, no matter how whatever it is you are, you consider yourself more than enough.
Yeah.
And in this world that's based on all of that other shit, it's really tough to do,
because
we're here, and first thing we ask ourselves, you know, what do I have to offer? What makes me different? What makes me special? So that's where I think the difficulty comes in.
Do you have a practice that you do like every morning to help you get ready for the day,
man,
or a ritual or routine? Or anything?
Yes, I do. It just changes every 3 days. You know what I mean? Because I'm still on that tip of what works.
Yeah.
So if I like meditate for 20 minutes, then I have a great day for the next week. I'll meditate.
Yeah.
And then until I have a sucky day, and then I'll try something else.
Sure.
But you know, it's tough to not be result oriented, you know, growing up an actor and dealing with sports. And, but for me, it's having a practice, and something that kind of, forces you to be outside yourself. And realize that there's something more. I think whatever that is, I feel like you're pretty good if you can focus on that.
Yeah.
That being one of the things. You know, and then afterwards, then actually focusing on yourself, so that you can allow yourself to focus more on other people. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. This cycle of life is the most difficult, just because, I'm the most aware. And at the same time, you know, with being split and a divorce and a single father, you know, I have the most, I've got a full plate. So, every once in a while, I'll feel sorry for myself, just because I just feel like I'm working constantly, trying to be a good person, trying to be a good father, trying to take the high road, you know, trying to be more mindful, trying to be more forgiving. And sometimes I want to say, fuck it. Let me, I mean, sometimes I do. I just came from Vegas.
You said it that whole weekend.
And I was pretty unmindful. And
sure.
You know what I mean? But I can't wait till I get to the point where, you know, I don't have to binge, you know, where you know, where I can just, it can just be life. Mm. And that can just be where I chill out as opposed to kind of winding it up. Yeah. And then feeling like I have to unwind, to the point where it's, you know, alcohol and girls and dancing and clubs. And, you know, I still got a little bit of that in me.
Mm-hmm. So you got the young Taye Diggs in you. Yeah.
You know, because I never, it's so many things. I never got to do that as a young man. You know, I grew up really, really religious and then came into success quick and then got married quick.
Working all the time, just focused.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then was really judgmental with, you know, oh, these people, you're a bad person if you do this. And slowly I started to open up my eyes and started to experiment with stuff. And, you know, clubs are fun. Drinking can be fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Girls can be fun. So, you know, I'm coming off that train now, but every once in a while it's still fun to just go a little crazy.
Sure. What are the non-negotiables for you? Like every day that you're like, I have to do this every day, no matter what, or I'm going to, maybe it's not meditate, but I'm going to eat a certain way. I'm going to think a certain thing.
It's one of those things. It's either working out. Well, you know what? To be honest, I force myself to think of others and kind of walk a path of trying to love. You know what I mean? As corny as that sounds, trying empathy. Do you know what I mean? Empathy is what it is. Every day I'm forcing myself to try to see if somebody rubs me the wrong way, if somebody does something, whether it be to me or to someone else, or if someone comes to me and asks some advice, you know, I force myself to try, you know, to say something that will kind of, throw a positive spin on something. And not go the negative route.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good about that. I feel good about myself. Yeah. When it comes to that, that's something that I'm pretty diligent in, I think, doing.
Hmm. There's a lot of, young actors and people, writers, people in the entertainment world that I know listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you could say that there's like the mistakes that a lot of actors make, and the things that they do well, what would be like the top two or three things that you think, if you're a young actor, writer, trying to make it in this world, what should they really be focusing on? What is holding them back that you see?
You know what? I was thinking of writing a book that, you know, was kind of grounded in humor that has to do with what is going to be like the, you know, the actor's handbook to becoming famous.
Mm.
Because it's a cliche, you know, it's like there's a young person who's got all this talent, you know, maybe they start out doing plays, then they do a play, they win an award, then they get the card to come to Hollywood, you know, then they do the whole Hollywood thing and it really, you know, chews them up. They date a celebrity lady, get married, the drugs, the strip clubs, the this, the that, and then they fall out, go to rehab, and then pick this role and then get nominated for an Oscar. And then, so part of me thinks that it's pretty, you know, you just need to stay grounded and to keep focused and to kind of not fall prey. Have someone have your back. Do you know what I mean? But then, you know, you don't get, you know, sometimes I think you need to get roughed up. You need, you need experiences so that things mean something. You know, like all the shit that I've been through it. So now I know.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was living a great life. I thought I was, you know, a good person and kind, but I didn't know shit. You know what I mean? I didn't know what people meant. I didn't know what it was like to struggle to a certain extent. And until I did, you know, the world didn't open up. You know, you need experiences, no matter what. I'm not telling everybody to get addicted to drugs and spend $100,000, you know, at a strip club. But, you know, everybody has their own kind of path. So I don't want people to end up killing themselves, but I think it's good that people, experience some friction.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That they should just be constantly going out, putting themselves out to bigger roles or bigger opportunities and failing essentially or getting said no to? Or...
I think people should follow their instincts. Hmm. You know, I truly do. I could sit here and say, be focused and stay out of trouble. And, I think at a young age, if people can realize that there's something outside of themselves, that there's a greater energy.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong there. But, people living their lives and having their own experiences, I think it bodes well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Being selfish, all of that, thinking of others, you know what I mean? Do you, but think of others and just go for it. Go hard.
Mm, yeah. Tiffa wanted me to ask you a question, and she said, what was it like to work with
I'm not answering Tiffany. You know Tiffany? She don't know me.
In private practice, you worked with Shonda Rhimes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And she's a big fan of her. She's reading her book right now.
So are you? Me too.
So she wanted to know.
There's something about yes or something. What is it?
The year of yes. Yeah. So she wanted to know what was it like working with her. It's a big inspiration for her and in the entertainment world.
Oh man, well that was when I had my kid when I was on her show. Mm-hmm. That was a time in my life, time and time again, I feel like I've been blessed. And then, the thing about this, being human, being an actor, being in LA, really, really amazing things can happen to you. And then you can forget. And then have fear and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, actors have we have the shortest just memories. things can be so, so bad, and then we can say, all I need is this job. And, once I get this gig and once I get this card, I'll be fine. Then we get the gig in the car and we're just complaining about what it's like to be in that car and in that gig.
Really?
We forget. Oh, man. I mean, actors are awful. We're awful people.
Okay.
We're so, we want shit for free. And
right.
If the car's not here at the minute and the cable's not, if I'm not on this magazine color and, oh, dude. And we come from nothing, So
right.
It's not, you would think we would be the most appreciative group on the planet. And instead, it's the opposite.
You're getting the most attention.
Oh,
you're
totally.
Getting the most recognition.
You know what I mean? On the red carpet, just frowning. Because somebody else, went before you.
Really?
When you just got dropped off in your limo or the car doesn't come on time.
You're wearing a $10,000 outfit.
You know what I mean? Totally. Yeah. I'm sitting here next to Sandra Bullock. I was supposed to be before her.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. But you get caught up in it.
Yeah.
I got caught up in that. What was the question? Oh,
Shonda Rhimes. Yeah, yeah.
So I was on a gig where I was like, all right, this next thing I want to shoot a gun. So I was on a show where I was shooting a gun and then, doing stunts and being the tough guy. And so that ended. And then I thought to myself, I would love to be on a show like Grey's Anatomy.
Mm.
Shonda Rhimes. I could just, really act and have those amazing monologues and wear a suit. And the next thing I know, she called me in and she's like, there was this new show I'm creating with Kate Walsh and it's a spinoff. And I was like, this is a dream come true.
Wow.
You really can manifest some stuff. And she was just wonderful.
Wow.
I don't know how I can only assume that everybody else had the experience that I had, but I don't know if it was because I was black or, a young man, but I really felt like she was looking out for me.
Wow.
We'd have, meetings about the character and I could tell, that she was very protective of the character I played.
Hmm.
And unfortunately in this time, in this era, when it comes to African American roles, you have to set a precedent, just so you don't have to, but if you want to make a difference, you need to set down some ground rules so that people don't get it twisted. So with that character, you could look at my character as, a professional black man and, you know, okay, not all black people take drugs. Not all black people just, not all black people are irresponsible.
Gangs or whatever.
She didn't make him, like, he was just a good dude through and through. So that, that character was there and you couldn't do anything about it. And that was proof that black people like this exist.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. She's a monster, man. She's just killing it.
Right.
And it's just so exciting. It's, cool. It just tickles me. So
big lesson you learned from her working with her. What was that?
To go for it. You know, somebody, I don't know. She's just did it. You know, she had the audacity, you know, to think that she could do shit and she's doing it. So
executive producing like 5 or 10 shows.
Why not
shows on TV or whatever?
If you would have told me that somebody was going to do that, I would have laughed in your face and said, "Why don't you just chill with one?"
Right.
Like, be cool. Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What makes you think that they're going to open the door for you? And she was like, "Fuck it, I'm I'm kicking this door down, and I'm going to be really good at it."
Wow.
You know, so
amazing. It's,
yeah, it really is.
That's really cool.
I mean, this is. I knew stuff like this was going to go down, but I didn't think it would happen this fast with, you know, a black president and then people like Shonda Rhimes just, and people have just gone so far beyond, you know, my expectations. You know, my mother used to say, make sure you can do everything better than they can, whoever it is. And all of these people, I think, you know, came from that school where it's like, you be so great that they cannot deny you.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to make money, they have to use you. That's Will Smith. He was like, you know, people were telling him, you know, black people don't have any weight overseas. And then he just started doing number one July 4th. He was like, fuck you. How about this? Now you can't deny me.
Yeah.
Now you can't deny me.
Amazing.
I'm so good and I'm going to be so good at what I do that it doesn't matter what you think about my skin tone or who came before me. These are number one summer hits.
Yeah. Selling the most everywhere, worldwide. Yeah.
No excuses, no basketball, sports, or, you know, he's a musician. He's none of that.
Yeah.
None of that. He was just like bona fide movie fucking star. And it's awesome.
That's cool.
You know?
Have you got really to spend time with him before? No.
Man, I went to a couple of premieres and, you know, he's like a god. He looks at you and you feel blessed. So
he's
that
much of a legend.
You know what I mean?
He is legend.
Exactly.
I am legend.
And now as little kids, you know, I would like
they're crushing
whatever
me.
They're selling, I'll buy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm taking style points off Jaden.
Right.
It's embarrassing. But they, you know, it's really
cool.
Great to see.
That's cool.
It's a really cool time.
When you prepare for a big moment, whether it be on stage, TV, film, and you're like, okay, this is the scene, this is like the moment or one of the moments of this film that I'm doing or experience, how do you prepare mentally and emotionally for that? Obviously, you've got to do the reps with the memorization, I'm assuming.
Right.
Which you've been doing for 20, 30 years now since high school. But how do you prepare mentally, emotionally to be like, all right, this could be a make or break moment in this. I got to make sure I show up.
Okay. Well, the first thing is I don't think that.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a make or break moment. I take all the pressure.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. For me. Some people, it fuels them. For me, taps into my anxiety. And so for me, I just got to tell myself, you know, this is what you do. You got this. And this is one thing that the last play I did, on stage, in New York helped me with was, you know, I prepare as much as I can and then I leave space for something that is unplanned. Just because, that's when some really, really great shit can happen.
The magic.
Yeah, exactly. I used to be the cat that would over prepare, you know, and plan out the joke and, you know, with the physical comedy and make sure I say this in this tone because it's been proven if I say it 8 times, you know, 7 times people will let, I used to plan it all out and see it in my head because I had that talent of just knowing, you know, what would work or the comic timing. What plays to what type of audience. And that's a talent unto itself, but it can get stale. And it limits you as an actor. You know, I feel like the really great ones, you know, leave just a little space there, some give, you know, they're a little bit more pliable. And that's when you can let, you know, the spirit of a moment take you. And that's when, you know, it's something really exciting can happen. So these days I try to leave some room for that. Yeah. And it's tough. It's tough because, you know, acting is a technique and, you know, there's stuff that actually works. Especially in TV and film where the redundancy, is that a word?
Sure. I think so.
Yeah. I make it a word. You know, you're just saying the same words over and over again. It can be tough, but, you know, it's something to constantly work on.
Do you usually prepare like the night before and visualize the scenes you're going to create the next day? Do you prepare more the day of?
It depends because I got a kid. I'm dropping his ass off at school. And
sometimes you can.
Exactly. A lot of times I'll memorize in the makeup trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
Right before, like an hour before.
Right before,
wow,
yeah. Oh, not an hour. No. Like minutes.
No way.
Yeah. But that's just because, you know,
You've been doing it for so long.
Yeah. It's episodic television. And we know the roles.
You must know what they're going to say next anyways.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then, so, you know, as I said, luckily I'll have enough time to get the lines under my belt. And then there'll be just some kind of fun energy on set with me and my co-star or with some of these really great guest stars we have. So it's luckily. You know, I don't have to put too much attention into memorization.
You've practiced the reps enough.
Yeah.
It
truly is like a muscle, and I feel grateful.
Have you ever had a moment in a movie or a show or on stage where you just literally blanked or you couldn't get the line down and you had to do it over and over
for
like an hour and you were just like,
awful.
What is that? What's that like?
It helps when you, it hasn't happened in a minute, but those were the times when I was overly concerned with getting it right. I have to memorize it all.
Looking perfect.
If I don't, I'll look awful and then I'll feel awful. All that anxiety is, I think, what caused me to have those moments where I would blank. And then, you know, it's like going down the rabbit hole. There's the fear of, it literally is like this. Because you can think of, you know, a million things while you're on stage. So I'll be, you know, giving a monologue or in the middle of a scene, and then I'll have the seedling of a thought. Oh my goodness. How crazy would it be if I forgot this next part? Wait, you have this next part memorized, right? Wait, do you have it? Is it the next part? What's this next part? Oh, what's it? And then you're offline. And if you can't, and now see, when you really know what you're doing, and you're kind of in the moment, something really great can happen and you can improvise and get a great laugh or you know, notice something on stage that prompts you to get back on track. But if you're inside your own head freaking out, there's no room for anything special to happen except fear.
Yeah.
And it's fucked up. It's just awful.
Oh.
So what? The couple of times I had repeated myself and got back on track. Other times I just walked off stage.
Really?
I forgot the line and would just walk off stage.
On a live play.
Yes. Wow. And then, you know, you're with other professionals, so they keep going.
They make it up.
Or just say something say something that didn't make any sense.
But the audience maybe doesn't know all the time. Right?
Yeah. And then there were times where I was just laughing at myself where I forgot the words of a song and it was like, skidoo-doo-doo-doo, ya-da-da.
No way.
Yeah. And then we're all just laughing on stage. The less you care, I think the better off.
Oh my goodness.
You know, because then the audience can laugh at you instead of feel sorry for you, because that's what you don't want.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You don't want everybody going, and I've been in both places. Ugh. In the audience.
You've watched it.
Oh, yes.
And you just, it hurts you.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah, no. But if you get somebody that forgets it and they say, you know, goes up, they're like, I just forgot what I was about. Then everybody can laugh with you. What's the next line? I'm sorry, guy. You know, something like that. And then it just, you know, what does it do? It makes you realize that we're all human and that it's not about performance. It's just about living and energy. And, you know, it's more about that.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I mean?
What's the quickest way for you to get in the zone in the ultimate flow?
Being present. You know, thinking outside yourself, You know what I mean? Listening. You know, all these are really, really good tricks for acting. Just getting outside of yourself. I was very much the opposite of like control of myself. Literally, my technique was, if I can be in complete control of who I am, then nothing can f*** with me. You know what I mean? But it was the opposite. If you kind of allow yourself to lose control and just, be informed by what's being thrown at you, that's when the real shit happens for me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's something you've done that you're really proud of that maybe not a lot of people know about?
Man, I'm really proud of my son. Mm. You know, just, he's between me and his mom. And you know, obviously people know that I have a child, but they don't know what I feel and, you know, how I grew up and what I had to deal with and, you know, kind of working against that and using, you know, the strength that I've gained from, you know, kind of the uphill battle that I've had to deal with, seeing him, you know, seeing all of, you know, my, struggles kind of manifest in him, you know, my, you know, kind of making the right choices with him and allowing him to be who he is. That just really, it's miraculous.
Yeah.
Just the way, you know, life is and how he's his own person. But then I can see, you know, his mother's influence and my influence, his Nana, you know, it's just amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What are the top two lessons that you really want him to learn and know as a young boy growing into a man? If you could only, you know, let's say you can only teach him two main lessons of like everything that you've known and that you wish he could become, what would that be?
Believe in himself and believe in others. Those two, you know what I mean? Kind of equally. Yeah. Just both.
Yeah.
Kind of in that yin and the yang.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was it like kind of growing up in the ranks, early career for you with another actor, and being in an intimate relationship and then getting married and you guys both have your own careers, both doing successfully in your own ways. Mm-hmm. How does that work and how do you make it work? You know, obviously you guys were together for a long time, but how were you able to make it work and grow? So there was a lot of love, but not competition and too much ego because you're both doing big things.
You know what? Now that we're split, I don't know. I thought that we did a good job of it, but now I'm wondering if maybe we weren't as honest with each other as we could have slash should have been. And that kind of lent itself to our splitting up. Mm. You know, Adina did a great job of never making me feel like she was competing. She never made me feel like she was jealous. Because for a good portion of the relationship, I was a little bit more
a limelight.
No, exactly.
Yes,
she's always been, I think, more talented. You know, the gift that she has.
She's done more Broadway. You've done more.
Not necessarily.
She was on Glee for a while too.
She was on Glee.
She was
yeah,
a great
she's,
role there.
She, I've kind
I'm a
of
big Glee
been,
fan, so that's why.
Oh, for real?
Oh, huge.
Oh,
Glee
yeah,
fan.
Yeah. She's.
It was
no
like
joke.
My show there.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. She was like I was always. I could do a bunch of things fairly well, and she was like the like nobody. There's nobody on this earth that sings like her.
Yeah.
Period. I can't say that about myself. I mean, there's someone who can dance better. There's someone who can act. There's a better looking dude. There's a someone you know can sing better. But for her, she has something that is just God given that you can't deny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it took her a minute. You know, it took her a minute, or it took the world a minute to kind of figure that out. But I don't think it's a mistake that she really came into her own after we split.
Mm.
You know, I don't think that
it was after you split when she kind of really...
yeah she's tearing shit up right now, tearing it up.
Do you feel like she maybe held herself back because she wanted you
possibly,
to shine, or
possibly I don't know because she was I don't remember there ever being a sense of competition. You know, whenever I was on a movie set, she was always there visiting.
Well, that's nice.
You know, I know that I was giving as much as I could to her and always trying to tell her that she was definitely going to make it and to never lose hope. Cause she, you know, she's very, very talented. So she would go back and forth, you know, she'd do something on stage and then she'd go and she'd do something, you know, like Glee or a movie or some kind of a television program and then go back to stage. And, but she's wanted it, you know, wanted it. And now she has it. So I'm very, very, very happy for her.
That's great. What advice would you give to maybe two young professionals who are both very driven, who both want to be successful and want to be kind of in the limelight of their career, not necessarily acting, but they want to be at the top of their business game or whatever industry they're in. What advice would you give to them, you know, being together to make sure that they're both, I don't know, feeling loved, feeling accepted?
But you mean people that are in a relationship?
Yeah, in an intimate relationship, whether they're married or not, or they're just together. What advice would you give to two young, driven, successful individuals who want to grow together?
Ask themselves if they really want to be together, and if they do, that has to be first, whatever that means. You know, like there's some people you have to decide to be together, to want to be together first, and then from there you set up, you know, the ground rules, which is only be away for 2 weeks or whatever that is for you.
Yeah,
but it only works if you have the other person in mind. And if you have the other person in mind, because you won't, it's a choice. If you feel like, oh, I have to do this because I have to. I mean, there are those times.
Right.
But that's not early in the relationship. You know, right. Early in the relationship, you should want to, I think, be in the relationship.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to take a job that was so far away.
Right.
Or sometimes maybe I did, you know, and maybe those are the moments where, you know, where this, the little cracks start. Mm-hmm. But it's got to start with the two people deciding we want to be together. This is going to be tough and we're going to get through it. Because that's the thing.
No matter what, we're going to.
You know what I mean? Yes, that's the thing. Because shit's going to go down. Shit's going to happen. Jobs are going to come. Other people are going to, you know, try to come in between you. Their egos. But if you decide, okay, let's decide that we're going to come out on the other end, then you're cool.
Yeah.
But it's tough because you're young. You're young and you think you know one thing when you're at a certain age, and then you think you change. It's a trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's difficult.
Final few questions for you. I could wrap all day with you.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
I want to respect your time. What are you most grateful for in your life recently?
Of course, my son. My relationship with this is like what I do. I'm grateful. That's the one thing that you going back to that question every day. Grateful to be alive and to have a working relationship with, you know, my mother, my son's mother. Because that could be so.
It could be messy.
And I'm so sensitive. It could really. And I'm already, even with stuff is great, I feel sorry for myself. Even when we're getting along and she'll come and get Walker, I miss my son. But it could be really tough. And I see people around me that are struggling, you know, with how much time they get to spend with their kid. And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that Adina is doing well. Yeah. That type of stuff.
That's cool.
You know, being grateful.
That's cool. This is called the three truths question. Okay. This is what I ask everyone at the very end.
Okay.
And Tay has not been debriefed on this, so this will be off the cuff.
I'll start off by saying people say I'm a little above average.
Most. Exactly. So this is called the three truths.
Okay.
And let's say it's many years from now.
Okay.
And everything you've ever created has been erased from time. All the books you've written, the movies, videos are all gone. So no one has any record of your information that you've given back to the world or your creations. And
this is good.
And you know it's your last day, and everyone there you care about is there. And it's peaceful. It's a celebration, but it's your last day. Many, many years from now.
Yeah.
And your great, great whoever, grandson, grandchild, daughter, gives you a piece of paper and a pen and says, Can you write down your three truths, the three things that you know to be true from everything you've learned in your life that you'd want the rest of us to know? Three truths about life. What would those three things be?
Ooh. Oh, man. Okay. Let me simplify.
Again, off the cuff.
Yes. Well, love. Love. That's a truth right there. Forgiveness. That is something that is real. Laughter. Those are the three for me. Yeah. See, like right now, my head is, I'm struggling with myself because I want to be even more specific. But then there's the other side that says just relax. And just those are the three things that came to me. Don't worry about how smart I seem. Exactly. So just
love,
with that.
Forgiveness.
And laughter.
Love, forgiveness, laughter.
Yeah.
That's a pretty great life right
All
there.
All right.
That's a great
I'll
life, man. I like those truths.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
We've got one final question.
Okay.
Before I ask that, I want to make sure we let people know about your book. You've got a couple books.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You've got two books. One's called Chocolate Me.
Right.
And another one's called Mixed Me.
Mixed Me, yeah.
And why did you write these books, and who are they for?
They're for everyone. Specifically, if I need to be specific, you know, young people that are kind of struggling with their own identity and self-worth and self-esteem. Growing up, for a portion of my life, I was the only little chocolate dude in this neighborhood.
In New York, right?
In upstate New York.
Upstate.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like you were in the Queens or something.
No. This was upstate New York, you know, very white.
Right.
There was one other little dude named Reggie. And we were the only two like dark spots in the hood in this white neighborhood. And I was made to feel less than and different. So I wrote a book, based on my experience, of this, you know, this little boy that gets made fun of. And then he grows to realize that, you know, he is special, even though he's different. And that, you know, chocolate, you know, obviously is the symbolism for being black, and that it's sweet and delicious and tasty, and it's positive instead of negative.
Yeah.
And then, Mixed Me is kind of based on my son and all of, you know, my biracial and, you know, mixed, heritaged, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Them dealing with, you know, having to choose and kind of not knowing which side of the line to stand on and, you know, who they identify with. The ending message of that is you are who you are, and just love yourself and demand that other people love you as well.
Yeah.
And for to not have to choose.
Yeah.
To just be who you are.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, man.
And the website for that is iammixedme.com.
Thank you, sir.
For that book. And you've got gear, you've got some of the, you've got the hat right
there.
We'll have all this linked up on the show notes, but make sure to go to iammixedme.com to learn more about that. Where can people connect with you most? I know you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, Facebook. Where do you hang out?
I'm trying. I'm so awful at all that stuff. But those
three
things are, yeah. I'm always trying to get, you know, new content. I need to be reminded. But you know, I'm getting better.
We'll have them all linked up, but
thanks, man.
Check out those three, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Sure.
Okay, final two questions.
Sure.
One of them is, if you had a word that you had to put on your forehead in reverse so that when you walked in the mirror and only you could read the word. The word or a phrase.
Okay.
That was just, you had to Mike Tyson yourself, put a tattoo on your face, and it was a word or a phrase that you had to look at. Every time you looked in the mirror, you saw this phrase.
Mm.
What would that be?
Grateful.
Mm.
Grateful, yeah, just to remind myself. Because it kind of works. No matter what's going on, it can, if you really buy into it, it can switch everything up.
Hard to be angry and grateful at the same time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you really buy, and that's the hard thing, is really buying into it, like really. But if you can take your time to really kind of dig yourself out of that hole and think of all the stuff you do have, it can switch it up.
That's great.
That's great.
Well, before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Tay,
sir,
for your incredible inspiration.
Oh, thanks, man.
For you constantly jumping out of your comfort zone with all the different roles you've played that have inspired people all over the world. I mean, you create you represent a symbol every time you step into a role, and you allow people to see what's possible for themselves.
Thank you.
And
man.
Your ability, and your ability to constantly show up and have like a great heart. I mean, I've only known you for literally an hour and the two times I met you briefly, but your energy, your spirit, your heart, you know, you're so wise. And that you're also wise that you know you don't know it all.
Yeah.
And so your humility and your I just appreciate all of it. So I want to acknowledge
thank you,
you
sir.
For
I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
of course.
I
man.
Really do.
Of course.
Thank you. And I'll take that. I'll accept
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And the final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Greatness. My definition of greatness is being who you are genuinely, whatever that is. I think that's great. Whatever that is. Whatever that means.
There you go. Hey, Diggs, the man. Thanks for coming on,
my brother. Man.
Appreciate
Absolute.
It. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. There you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, check out the full show notes and get connected with my man, Tay Diggs, at lewishouse.com/342. That's right. Subscribe to all of his information, all of his social media. Get following him. Say hi to him. Let him know what you thought of this interview. Tweet him. And let me know what you thought as well over on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or on the blog at lewishouse.com/342. This guy is a gem of a human being. He's doing incredible work in the world. He's inspiring, motivating, and I hope you guys really support him moving forward. Again, if you found this inspiring in any way, please share this with your friends over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and let people know about the School of Greatness podcast. We're getting over 1.3 million downloads a month, and it's all because of you. You continue to listen, you continue to share, and you continue to spread the message of greatness. And for that, I am forever grateful and so appreciative of your kind support. And it's that time of the show where you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.